Suave.
I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss grinding, shit get critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams and right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, change relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly. Now
Bet Online remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. All righty, guys. Happy New Year's. We're officially in 2023, man, and we are happy to bring you guys another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast. As always, my name is Andrew Robinson, joined by my co-host, Alexis. Alexis, how you doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, good, man. Can't complain, man. Cannot complain. But, man, like I said, this is not about me. It's not about Alexis, man. We have a wonderful guest on, somebody who's, you know, well-traveled throughout Europe, United States, everywhere, man. A guy who has an amazing story, man, coming from New York, going to a mid-major, working his way up, you know, through the ranks. And now he's playing some basketball and you know, some of the highest levels in the world, man. So we're pleased to be joined by Kyle Allman, man. Kyle, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me, bro.
No doubt. No doubt, man. And shoot, man, before we get started into the nitty-gritty, man, like I said, you know, we're in the new year. So I want to just ask you guys, man, what's some of y'all New Year's resolutions going to the new year, man? We'll start with Alexis, man. What you got going on for 2023?
I think my main thing is just being more intentional. I feel like I kind of just put a bunch of stuff on my schedule just to kind of say that I'm busy. So I think just making sure that the stuff that I'm putting on there is like just intentional and worth my time. That's like as far as what I want to do long term, instead of just, you know, the sake of just saying that you're busy, basically.
That's a gem. How about you, Kyle?
For me, I would say just being more present, like not thinking about, you know, what happened yesterday or what I want to do in February or next year, like just being more present, locked in into whatever day I'm in right there.
Got you. That's what's up, man. So I think for me, 2023, man, I'm focused on leveling up, man. Focusing on Andrew, you know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of us can relate. I think always trying to pour into other people, pour into other things, sometimes it's draining.
For sure.
Especially.
For sure.
With playing basketball or, you know, in schools, like I feel like we pour so much energy into external things, man. I think 2023 is the year I'm just getting back to pouring into me, you know. So for the listeners, definitely, you know, want to give y'all some advice. You know, let us know what y'all New Year's resolutions are, man. But like I said, man, it's not about us, it's about our guests, man. And like I said, you're somebody who, you know, I've been able to just watch from afar for a while, and you know, you have an amazing story, man. Obviously, you're born and raised in New York, but I kind of want to let you just give the audience a chance to just talk about just growing up in New York, how you started playing basketball, and just what your upbringing was like. You know, just coming out of New York City and playing basketball.
It's kind of like my dad put the ball in my hand, honestly. So started with him probably when I was around like 9 or 10, and ever since then I just fell in love with it. Obviously, being from New York, like, you play in the playground a lot. So my dad used to kind of just leave me over there, like, just play with older people, younger people. It didn't really matter, just out there playing, figuring it out. And then just started getting cool with a lot of people who play basketball as well. So now we going to travel ball tournaments and stuff like that. So it's just a bunch of different experiences I had in New York, whether it be the playground or, like, actual organized basketball. I think I got a pretty good mix, and I think that explains how I play today. Like, it's kind of like a mix of that playground plus organized kind of basketball. So I think that has a lot to do with how I play now. But just growing up like that was fun. I think it adds to your game, it adds to your personality growing up playing in a park. So I would credit New York for that a lot, actually.
Now, I'm gonna toss to Alexis right quick, man. But you got to know, man, you are on the podcast with two DMV residents. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we always want to
DMV.
You know what I'm saying? I think DMV got the best hoops in the world. But, you know, I do respect New York. You know what I'm saying? Y'all could be second fiddle, you know what I'm saying, to the DMV.
I would say the same. I would say I think New York got the best.
Okay.
And I respect y'all to the utmost. So that's so I would say the same.
Respect.
But we both biased, though.
Okay.
We both biased, though.
But can you kind of talk to us a little bit about your recruiting process as far as, you know, choosing to go, you know, at 18, flying across the country, deciding to go to college with that? And then also, even just before that decision was made, just kind of your recruiting process as far as offers, things you were kind of considering, what you were looking for in a program, stuff along those lines.
The recruitment was slow for me, real, real, real slow. I had a lot of, like, New York City mid-majors interest, but I just wasn't getting over the hump of getting the offer. And I had a lot of good kids on my high school team, but one in particular, he had a lot of offers. So I think most of the schools that were interested in me were waiting for to see if he would commit. And then even once he committed, it was just still kind of like slow for me. So I had my first offer probably in like April, and it was from a D2. So that was my only offer for a while. And then I was probably like a week from committing to the D2. And a guy I knew from New York was just sending my film out to a bunch of D1 schools, and the school that I had went to for 4 years, Cal State Fullerton, wound up emailing me back, telling me that they wanted me for an unofficial visit. So me and my parents, you know, paid a flight, paid a hotel, go out there. Because everything's on your dime when it's unofficial. So you pay for everything. So it's kind of like, you just go out there and just kind of take the chance. So we went out there, wound up playing open gym with them. So just 10 of their guys plus me. And then they wound up offering me within 2 days after that. So that was a blessing. But before that, it was just real slow. And I was just thinking kind of like, all right, like I just got to grind out the D2 process, like go there and then just do what I got to do, either stay there if I really love it or, you know, try to put up numbers and transfer. But yeah, it was tough. My confidence was low for a little while as well, like feeling like I was playing well, but not well enough to get those schools to offer me a scholarship. So that was tough for me. I can't even lie. I was struggling with that mentally. But it all worked out how it was supposed to.
Kind of like a follow-up question for you. So you said you went there with your parents. So how did that kind of help, just having the support of your parents being able to, because it's not like you're going from, you know, New York to Maryland. So having them pay for all of you all to fly, you know, across country to, you know, put you in hotels. So like, how would you say that kind of helps you as well? Just having the support of your family to be able to finance those things. A lot of people, you know, they're not in that predicament. It's just more so, okay, if it's not official or if it's unofficial and it's too far, then they kind of don't have that opportunity anymore.
Yeah, I think, I honestly think my whole life I've been super lucky to have the help of my parents. I've been blessed enough to live in a two-parent home. And they super support me. So I know I'm very, very, very lucky to have that. And I don't let a day go by without acknowledging that. But yeah, it's impossible to be where I'm at without them, you know, coming out of their pocket and paying that flight, hotel, food, stuff like that. Like it's impossible. But the support meant a lot, honestly, because I've never been to California previous to that. So sending me at 17 by myself to go from New York to California, I wouldn't know what to do. So them being there was big for me. And yeah, I think this whole thing is impossible without, you know, them coming out their pocket and taking a chance on me and taking a chance on the university. So it's not possible without them for real.
I think one of the best things about just having this podcast and getting to talk to so many different people is like, you could hear so many different stories, but so many parallels. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity to have Cameron Taylor on our podcast. You might know he played for Strasbourg last year in the French league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, played against him.
And he was a kid that went Division II, you know, went to Seton Hill. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any Division
D2 I. and Kill, too.
Kill, man.
D2 and Kill. Like,
he was telling us on the podcast about how kind of the same situation, man. He's going to open gyms, almost having to, like, try out and play pickup visits to try to, like, earn his scholarship. And now he's made it to, you know, the ACB where he was playing EuroLeague last year. I feel like it's crazy for you, man, to be in a position to where if you look at your career now, people are going to be like, yo, how did this dude not have any Division I offers? Yeah. And then you look at your college career, freshman, you average 5 points a game, and then 10. Yeah. And you had a crazy leap going to your junior year where you got 19 points per game. Just walk me through, you know, those, that time period where, you know, throughout your 4 years, you got better every year, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, by the time you left, you guys were an NCAA tournament team, your top five in school history, scoring. Just, you know, walk me through those 4 years, man, and developing into the player that you ended up, you know, becoming.
Freshman year was tough because, like, you go from being a man at your high school, right? So I'm coming in, I'm like, okay, like, I'm playing, like, for sure. So it's kind of like it's kind of real humbling. So, like, I played first couple of times, I didn't even play. So first couple of games, first couple of scrimmages, I barely played, right? So that's super humbling. Of course, like, initially I was just like, why am I here? You know, telling my parents, like, I want to leave. But just wound up thugging it out. And a couple people got injured my freshman year. I stepped into a role where, like, I was playing a little more minutes. Like, not a big role, but I was playing more minutes. And like you said, average 5 points going into the next year. I was just heavy on just like, okay, like, I got to be good at one thing. So my one thing was just getting to the basket, you know, trying to just get fouled, get layups, attack the rim, and then shoot open shots. Like, just keep it real simple. So that was my main focus going into that year. But from my sophomore to junior, I didn't even go home for that summer break. So, you know, I was like a discussion I had to have with, like, my mom. Obviously, she wants to see me coming back, but I just felt like people graduated and I was stepping into a role where I could have success and I needed to maximize that. And I just told my mom, like, yeah, like, I'm not coming home. So I spent, obviously we end the semester probably like May, and I spent from May to August out there. I didn't come home one time, worked out with my trainer out there. So it was really just a grind, a lot of makes per day, lifting, just stuff like that. And I credit that, all that work, to my jump from my sophomore to junior. And then from there, it was history. Junior to senior, I didn't go home again. And then, yeah, I would just say it's that summer work and me sacrificing time with family, time with friends at home, to just really staying stuck in my craft. Because I was, at one point, I was the only one on campus for real, but I just wanted to obviously make that jump. And I knew that the only way I could do it is if I put hella work in, so that was a big thing for me. So I just had to sacrifice that and then just get working.
Man, so the city ain't see you for 2 years.
2 years, bro. So I would come home, like, Christmas break, I came home. Like, I would come home for that. But yeah, that summertime, I was out there, sand dunes, lifting. And, like, I give super credit to, like, the staff at the school. Like, they allowed me to get in the gym. They were there for me anytime I needed to rebound. Like, just simply giving me the access to the gym is, like, it's huge, because they didn't have to, because it's a break. So, like, they didn't have to come and, you know, open the gym and stuff like that. So I'm super grateful for that as well. But even the guy in the weight room, like, the guy I'm lifting with, he didn't have to come on break when no other guys are here and help me lift, but he did. So all that stuff plays a big part too.
So quick follow-up to that, like, when you were done with your 4 years, right, and, you know, you're looking at your pro options, were you a guy that was like, all right, I'm trying to get to the league? You know, was it like, all right, you know, maybe I'll go overseas? You know, obviously your first year you ended up going to Greece. You played summer league with the Raptors. But, like, what was that mindset like? Because I feel like it's kind of a fine line, you know what I'm saying? So what was going through your mind when you were trying to weigh your options?
So at this point, I don't know much. I just know, okay, I'm coming off two – crazy years, like two good years, two very good years. And I have, so my junior, end of my junior year, I have a workout with the Clippers. So I'm like, okay, like, that's cool. And then going in after my senior year, then I have six workouts. So total, I've had seven workouts, and I would say I play well in a lot of them. So at this point I'm thinking, like, okay, like, I could make some shape. So I wind up getting the Raptors summer league offer. I take it. First couple of practices, I'm playing very well. Like, I'm surprised myself, like, yeah, I'm playing well right now. But humbling experience is, like, I don't play. First couple games, I don't play. So I'm like, I'm in a hotel room in Vegas. My family's there, so I'm just like, damn, like low key embarrassed. Like, yeah, I'm really not playing. So at this point, I'm thinking it's NBA for me because I'm from a mid major, but I'm, you know, I did some good things at my school, and I'm getting NBA workouts, and a lot of my friends aren't. So I'm like, shit, like I think I can make this push. So my it's NBA right now. So it winds up just not working out. So now we're talking about overseas stuff. And Greece was just the best option. I had two options, Greece and Poland, I want to say. Seems like forever ago, but Greece and Poland, I want to say. And Greece was just the best option for me. And it was the best to springboard my career. So I just thought that was the best one. We talked it over and then obviously went out there for my first year.
So being there and having to deal with COVID, and of course, COVID was one thing in America, but then have to kind of, I guess you could say, juggle two unknowns at the same time. You're juggling this unknown country, Greece, and then you're also this unknown pandemic. None of us have really, lived through a pandemic before. So how was that, just kind of navigating that, still trying to make sure you were in the gym, but then trying to stay safe? Of course, you don't want to be sick.
So at first it was normal. Like my first like 6 months out there was normal. So from I got out there in August, and we didn't get sent home until late February, I want to say. So I don't know how many months that is, like five, I guess, something like that. But so those first 5, 6 months were normal. And then I just remember late February, I got back from a break. We got a little fever break in February. We came back, probably played like two games, and then we just started hearing about this COVID stuff. Like, you know, kind of like, what is it? But I'm thinking it's just, you know, in America, like something happened in America. And then people started getting sick in Greece too. Everything's closing down, restaurants closing down, games getting canceled. So of course my family, like, you know, I don't want you stuck over there. So we started talking to the team, kind of trying to figure out like, okay, how can we get home? Because me being out here is not an option right now. Like, so it was tough because you had to kind of just like go from being locked in and just packing it up and going home because of, you know, the virus. So it was tough. And then it's scary too, because that was at a time where they were saying like they weren't allowing international flights, and I'm still in Greece when they're saying this. So it's kind of like it was certain exceptions to it, but at first I didn't know that. So me and my family thought like, man, we're gonna be stuck out here. So that was a scary part too. And then you had up until a certain date to get out. So it was a lot, and it was pretty nerve-wracking. And then, you know, trying to get the rest of your paycheck through a whole, you know, pandemic when people worried about themselves and their families was tough as well. But it all worked itself out, and it was fun. But it was pretty nerve-wracking, I can't lie.
The next year you go to Latvia, you're playing Champions League, for Riga. And that's like the year, the full COVID season, where like I don't know how it was over
Full
there,
COVID
but
season.
like no stand, I mean no fans in the stands, and like
Bro.
all the bash. Like, what was that experience like that year?
I just say, like, it was a lot of self-motivation. Like usually you could get going off a crowd, get going off just like the atmosphere, you can kind of get going. Like, but that was just a self-motivation. Yeah. Like, only thing, like in Riga was like at a point, it was like a curfew in the city. Like a lot of people was getting sick. Like the cases were rising. So it was like at a point, like the curfew was from like 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Like you're not doing nothing at that time. So it was crazy. Like grocery stores only open for a couple hours of the day. Like it was crazy. So that was just a big self-motivation year and a big like just grind, like no haircut, like no retwist, like the little stuff too. It's kind of like, damn, like so it was just like a full-on grind, like just being able to get in the gym certain times, like you getting tested three, four times a week. So you got a little Q-tip going up your nose 3, 4 times a week, still trying to travel, always got the mask on. It was a lot not being able to go home for 10 months, because they weren't allowing you to go back. So 10 months, your people can't come out there, you can't go back home. So it was tough. I ain't gonna lie, it was tough. But I will say that, like I said, it was just a super self-motivational year, and like all my motivation came from like, okay, like I know that this is where I want to be next year, or you know, this is what I want to do this summer. So I just had to keep reminding myself of that, and that's what got me through that year. But that year was tough. Like it was tough.
And kind of like fast forwarding a little bit to, now playing in Paris, how has that experience been for you, just like on the court? And then I guess go into some of the experiences that you've been able to have off the course, as far as what you're doing, your off days, interactions with teammates, things like that.
I think playing out is pretty easy. It's very similar to New York in terms of like the fashion stuff, the diversity, bunch of different cultures. So I think it's super similar to New York. So I like it a lot, and it allows me to tap into things I like, fashion and photography, stuff like that. So it allows me to tap into that stuff, which I've met, like you said, off day. So I've gotten to meet a lot of people, just through like fashion, and been blessed to be able to go to like certain events, clothing brand releases and certain parties and stuff like that, social events that I've been blessed to be able to go to. So those are things I like to do on my off days, and I try to take advantage while I'm out here. But basketball wise, it's been cool. French League is really athletic. I have some great teammates that are super skilled, but even better people off the court. So it's really been an easy transition playing here, and it's definitely somewhere where I could play a couple years, or even if I was to choose a place to live overseas, I would definitely choose Paris for sure.
Would you say it's like some of the coolest things you've been able to, like, or if you have like a memory over the last 2 years, you're like, that shit right there was dope. Like, what like some of the, I guess, favorite memories, thing you've been able to do, like, all off the court since you've been there in Paris?
I went to a PSG game. That was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy. Just like that whole atmosphere and seeing like 30, 40,000 people just go bananas in the cold. Like it was like around this time. So it was last year, it was freezing cold around the time. So just being able to see 40,000 people like yelling and screaming for 90 minutes of a match in freezing cold, just not worried about anything but the people on the court is like, I mean the people on the field is that was a top one. I think another one was the World Cup just now, like being in France while France was playing. That was a crazy one. Like I was in a spot with a bunch of people, just seeing the emotions of that, like down 2-0, then tied 3-3, then losing in the PKs. Like so seeing the emotions from a bunch of French people in France with their team playing is like it's crazy. Another one would probably be cliche, but like going to the Eiffel Tower like for the first time, or like even just like casually driving past it. It's like damn, like I'm really, I really drive past it like normally now. Like and just like certain like brand events, like there's a couple I've been to, but I would put all of them in the same realm. But just being able to go see people clothing brand release like releasing early and stuff like that'll always be super cool to me. And like meeting the people who are behind like putting these clothes out and hearing like their expression of, this is why I put this out, this is what this means to me, like that kind of stuff will always be cool to me. Like just being able to hear their perspective on stuff, because half the time we just see it like, okay, I like this piece, but I don't like this piece. But they'll say like, I put this rip here because, or I put this color with this color because, and like this means to me. So like hearing that side of it makes you appreciate it 1,000 times more. So I would say those four things are like some moments where I was like, okay, like yeah, this is I love Paris type.
Love.
So being in New York and you have, fashion is clearly close there too. So would you say, once you got to Paris is when you got to into fashion, or were you already into fashion when you got to New York and then Paris just kind of gave you that opportunity to explore it a little more?
No, I was always into it. But being here definitely gave me like it just broadened it more. Like, you don't see a lot of people wear certain stuff in New York, but then, you come here and you got a little more money in your pocket, so you could, try a couple new things or buy four more things than you could have 2 years ago. So I would say it's having a little more money in your pocket and also being somewhere that's super diverse. And also the culture, like culture now is like it's super open to people trying stuff like. So now like you see men wearing things that's on the verge of, women's side of stuff. So like I say that the fashion has super broadened since the last time I've lived in New York. So I would just say like it's just the perspective and like just being able to see a lot of people wear a lot of different stuff. Definitely changed my view on fashion, and it helped me kind of broaden my style, I would say.
Now we definitely gonna get back into the fashion, man, a little bit of the podcast, man. But I want to segue a little bit, man, into your YouTube, because first of all, while we got my guy on here, man, I gotta say, man, you definitely got one of the best YouTubes I have seen.
Appreciate that, man.
Saying, I was telling
Appreciate that.
Alexis about this off air, like, yo, like his joke, am I lying, Alexis? I was stamping it. I was showing love.
Appreciate that, bro.
No, bro. I feel like. And the reason why I say that is because I remember, so when you were in Greece, your first year, that's my last year in college. So when the COVID stuff hit, like, obviously we didn't get to finish our season, we didn't get to finish our conference tournament. And now it's like, all right, I'm trying to go overseas. All that stuff kind of went down the drain. Like I ended up hiring an agent that like ended up being a shitty agent. So my whole
Yeah, always tricky those situations.
Man, tricky, bro. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't really do the research that I felt like I could. It was kind of like a trickle down effect just with COVID and everything shutting down so fast, trying to choose the agent. My agent wasn't really the right one. So long story short, man, I ended up missing my rookie year, and being home. And my whole rookie year, I just remember like just trying to find like, damn, like, all right, like what can I expect, like when I get over there? Cause you know how it is. Like you waiting for a job. It's like, yo, like
Sure.
I can get a call tomorrow. I have to, be ready to go perform. So I'm trying to look at YouTube and figure out, damn, like, all right, what am I about to get myself into? And I can remember just thinking to myself, like, damn, like it's not really nothing out here that's giving me a gist of like what it's like to live over here, to play over here, like nothing. You know what I'm saying? I always told myself, like, damn, if I ever get into a position to where I can like show people what it's like on a day-to-day basis, like I would definitely do that. You know what I'm saying? Actually, there was one YouTuber that I did come across. I'm gonna give my man his flowers. His name is EK Udonald. He plays for Strasburg now too.
That's my
Yeah,
dog.
he got a
My
super
dog.
dope YouTube series that he was doing. It was called Keezy's Odyssey, where he walks through a bunch of like his years of his career and all that kind of stuff, man. But so if y'all listening, man, make sure y'all go check out my boy YouTube, man. Life is good. You know what I'm saying? It's on YouTube right now, man. But I
Sure.
wanted to ask you, like, what inspired you to start that YouTube series up, man? Because like I said, man, it's very well put together and well executed. So like, how did you kind of come up with the inspiration to start that?
It's crazy because like it wasn't even a goal at first. So in the summer, a photographer that I met last year in Paris was in LA in the summer. So I went to San Diego for 3 days. I brought him on a trip, like, yo, come. I was working out at a nice little B&B, stuff like that. So I was like, yo, like come shoot the trip. Like he comes, we wind up getting close, like my boy. So he comes, we get super close. So now coming back into my second year, I re-sign. So now I kind of tell him, like, yo, like, let's figure something out to where, like, you come to all the games, you shoot content, but it's just for me. Like, it's just stuff I wanted. Like, I just wanted stuff to, have to post or send to the family or to be able to look back at. It wasn't for like YouTube. I just wanted it for myself. So we had figured out, price and stuff like that for him to just come to the game, or like if I have an event to go to, like you pull up with me, kind of thing, and like you capture that moment. It was just like just to have all these moments, just to document them. So we figured that out, and then we kind of just started talking about it. Like, the YouTube stuff would be cool. Like, we got a lot of stuff that you did. Like, that's some cool stuff. I kind of sat back and thought about it. I was like, like I don't really know if I want to do it. And then we talked about it. He kind of put an episode together, and I was like, nah, this is crazy. Like, this is fire. But I also thought about, like, me and my dad talked about it a little bit, and there's not a lot of perspective on, like, okay, this is somebody overseas who like could possibly motivate me. Like, I'll say, like, the people whose game guards games I like that are overseas, like, don't have a YouTube, so I don't know what they do day to day, or like what they do on off days and stuff like that. Like, so my dad was just saying, like, you never know. It might be a kid who is a fan of Kyle Manjunga, right? And he might want to see that, or that might keep him going. Like, so that's what kind of like put me over the top of doing it, because I was on the cusp of like doing it, not doing it, and that kind of put me on the top. Like, okay, like this could be something that's obviously bigger than me. So that's what got it started, honestly. And it's super organic, because it's like I'm not doing anything I don't do on a normal. And he already comes to shoot the content, and then he just winds up turning it into a really good video. So it's kind of like super organic, and that's why I like it, because he comes, he films, it'll be me and my friends, or me and a couple people I know just vibing, and it's not like, you know, like I said, nothing I don't do, you know, on a regular basis, or, you know, being someone I'm not. It's just everything's super organic, so it makes it way better. But yeah, initially I didn't even know if I wanted to do it, didn't want to do it. And just decided, like, you know, it could be way bigger than me, so I might as well, you know, put some stuff out, especially if he's gonna make it, and, you know, he's putting out great videos. He's pretty good at what he does, so he's putting out great videos, and I was just kind of like, let's do it.
Based on your response, man, made me think, man. I want to ask you this, kind of, I really want to get your thoughts on this, because I feel like I have this as well, but you kind of mentioned how, you know, a lot of guards, they play a position, or people who, you know, play a position or play at this level, I'll say, don't really have YouTube, you know what I'm saying? And like, even if you look at like in the NBA, a handful of NBA players that like are doing the YouTube thing, you know, but it's not a lot. There are a couple guys, like Jordan Poole has his own photographer, and a couple guys who are getting into like having guys create content for them. But like, this whole thing where players are like creating their own media content is like a new thing, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't always cool, or it wasn't always like, at one point it was looked at as like a negative. People were like, oh,
wasn't accepted either for a minute.
At all. It was like, yo, like
they kind of put it as like, if you do that, you're not locked in. Like,
right.
You don't like basketball. Reflection.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that was honestly one of the things that I struggled with too, was like the perception. When I started like making reels and shit like that, I was like, damn, like people gonna look at you more as a content creator or as a YouTuber or whatever than a basketball player. You know what I'm saying? And that was one of the main mental battles that I had to get over when I first started, even with doing this, like having a podcast and like promoting it and all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's out of the norm. You know what I'm saying? And like, I feel like players can receive a lot of pushback for that, for not focusing just on basketball or whatever the case may be. And like, obviously you playing at a super high level. We'll get into some of your number and things like that. But like, you know, I feel like there's enough evidence out there to prove Draymond Green has a podcast, did it all last year, and he just won an NBA championship. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't take away from your game. So my question to you is, like, did you kind of have that battle in your head where it was like, damn, like, what are people going to think I'm starting my YouTube? Or, like, you know, it is going to take away from my game? Like, and how did you, if you did, like, how did you kind of get over that and just, you know, decide to kind of push through it?
Like, I ain't think, like, it would take away from my game, but I always been type where it's like, okay, like, I like to have balance in my life. So like, I'm not the type who like my whole, if we just talking social media, like my whole Instagram, not just going to be basketball, 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 basketball. Cause I like to dress. I like to go places. Like, so my Instagram will be other stuff. So I've always been heavy on like showing that I'm more than a basketball player, or, you know, just putting that on display. Like, okay, I don't only play basketball. Like, it's times where like, I don't repost highlights or stuff like that, cause I want to post other stuff. Like, it's just, I don't always want to post basketball on my page. So I think that kind of fell into that category. And the fact that that was already my mindset, it was kind of like an easy transition. But I will say YouTube is different than, you know, putting on outfits and taking pictures. Like, it's way different. It's a way different perspective. But for me, the whole YouTube thing was kind of like I had to like get over it myself. Like, damn, do I really want to do this? Like, is this really what I want to do? I wasn't really thinking like, what will other people think of me? Like, kind of thing. Cause, but also, like, I feel like it's just more accepted now. Like, Ja Morant got a good one. There's a kid on Instagram I always see. I mean, on YouTube I always see Phil Kofer. I don't know if you know about him. I always see his stuff.
YouTube is good vibe.
I always see his stuff. Jordan Poole does it. It's a kid on the Rockets that does it. Forgot his name. Lindsay, I want to say.
Matisse.
Yeah, exactly. He has a YouTube. Matisse had the YouTube in COVID.
Yep.
So it's like it's been way more like accepted.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of like, you know, it's accepted now, but it just fell right into the realm of like me putting on display that I'm more than, you know, scoring 15 or scoring 12 or 5 assists or something. Like, it just fell into that.
Would you say that since basically, you're just documenting what you would do normally, would you say that kind of helps you be consistent with content? Because I feel like a lot of people, they start, they had this great idea, and they do one or two videos, and then it's like, okay, what now? But since you are basically, documenting what you do on a daily basis anyway, would you say that kind of helps you on the consistency front?
50% of that I would say helps me on the consistency, and I would say the other 50% is the fact that me and the guy have a genuine relationship. Like, that's actually my boy. So like half the time he's there, I would probably tell him to pull up anyway. Like, and like he's come places with me with no camera, like just pull up vibe. So it's kind of like it's not just like a business transaction. I come record, leave. It's kind of like that's my boy. We talk a couple group chats, like so. 50% is, yeah, it does help, stay consistent. But then the other 50, like I said, is the fact that we actually have a genuine relationship, and that's my boy. He's cool with like, some of my other friends too. So it's like the mutual friend aspect. So yeah, I would say 50-50 of that.
I feel like you mentioned, man, like you, I mean, we all just rattled off a bunch of players who have YouTube. And I feel like even now in today's day and age, people aren't really watching TV as much. Everybody's watching YouTube or Netflix or Hulu. So there's like a real opportunity to kind of do something with YouTube and monetize as well. So for you, like, what are your plans like with the YouTube going forward? Obviously, you've gotten off to a great start. I feel like the response has been great to the videos. Like, is this something that you want to kind of continue doing going forward? Like, is it like, what do you, what are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I haven't even really like mapped out like, okay, I want to get to this many subscribers by this time. Like, I just kind of just been like, just been doing it, bro. Like, I kind of like put it up and I look at it a little bit, like, and then circle back to it, and then okay, I got this many views. Okay. But I think the biggest thing for me is just kind of like, just keep being somebody. Like the feedback I've gotten is like, yo, like, this is motivating. Like, yo, like, keep putting this out. Like, I like to see stuff like that. So it's like, okay, like, if I could be a motivation to people, even if I get 100 views, like, if I could motivate 100 people, like, that's good enough for me. And like I said, just keep doing stuff that I would normally do, and keep documenting it. But I don't have a real end goal. But I think good things will come from it. Eventually, like having different opportunities outside of basketball that will come from people seeing the YouTube or people seeing like, personality and stuff like that. Like the fact that I like fashion, like jewelry, like stuff like that. People seeing that, it's like okay, like. I think a bunch of different opportunities have come from it, but I just don't have anything set in stone in my head that I've set as like a goal for the whole YouTube thing.
That's dope, man. Well, like I said, man, if y'all tuning into this, as somebody who's watched it myself, I would definitely recommend y'all go tune in, man, if you want to, get a look into, what life is like, for overseas basketball players on the court, off the court, man, everything in between, man. Life is good, man. Go check that out. But I want to kind of segue a little bit, man, because also, I had an opportunity to watch you this summer, when you were playing summer league with the Miami Heat. And this is before I even knew you were re-signing in Paris. I was like, dang, yo, like, bro's out here hooping, like, for real, like, you were doing your thing out there. So, this summer, like, was there ever a thought, like, damn, like, maybe I can get an NBA another chance? Like, what was that decision process like for you? Because, again, it wasn't like, your first year, you talked about you were with the Raptors, you didn't really get an opportunity to play. Like, this summer, you was in the field and you was hooping, you know what I'm saying? Like, and your name was actually buzzing a lot. As far as, all right, like, are the Heat going to try to keep him around or training camp or whatever? So this time around, like, what was that thought process like, as far as, like, am I going to try to get this NBA thing a shot, or am I just going to go back overseas?
At one point I was like, all right, like this could really be a reality right now. Like, so we had two different summer leagues. We had one in San Francisco and then we had one in Vegas. So I was playing well in the San Fran one, but I just couldn't, like, I wasn't making shots. So I'm like, okay, but I was still getting like 10 assists, playing defense, like stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. First game in Vegas, I don't play well either. So like I just didn't play well. But then after that, it was just like on the up. Like I think we played the Hawks, then I play well, played the Raptors, play well, and then I played the Clippers, play well. So I had three straight where it was like, okay, like now I'm making shots, still diamond a little bit. So that's when I started feeling like, okay, like this could be an opportunity. But they had, unfortunately, they gave it two ways to other people, which it's part of the business, whatever. But that was definitely the time where I felt like, okay, like this could be a time where, I crossed that line of like going from an overseas guy to, okay, now I'm making that NBA push. So this time I did feel like that. Didn't happen. And then Paris became Euro Cup. So then we just kind of like negotiated and then we figured that stuff out.
So over the time period of you playing during Summer League, what would you say were kind of like your highlights as far as like, of course there's, the big players that come and watch, there's different people that you meet. I know Cam Taylor, he was saying he ran into some people in the elevator, just that overall, experience. But I feel like a lot of people, they are more so focused on NBA regular season and they forget how much fun is in Summer League. Of course, you want to play well because it could eventually be a segue in your way to get into the NBA. But to me, I look at Summer League as fun. People, it's kind of like the off season. People are working out. They're still
Sure.
everyone trying to basically get their shot. It's not as intense as, the regular season. So how would you say your interactions with other people were while you were there?
It was cool. I got to meet Alonzo Mourning, Udonis Haslem, so that was cool. One of my boys that I played against, he went to Santa Barbara. So we both mid-major boys, and he got signed with the Heat last year. So he was on the bench watching as I was playing. So that was a cool moment for me too. It was kind of like, we both, from mid-majors, like we're not really supposed to be here kind of thing. And he signed, and I was feeling like I was close to signing. So that was a cool moment. I seen CJ McCollum in the elevator. That's my favorite player, so that was cool. I didn't say what's up though, but I just saw him. I was like, damn, that's fire.
Why do y'all act too cool for school and not say hi? Why do y'all do that?
It's not even too cool. It's just like I come from a standpoint where it's like I know that he probably get in the elevator every single day and get bombarded every single day. So it's kind of like just leave him alone. I acknowledge like, okay, this CJ McCollum, like this is fire, but I'm not gonna be like, hey, what's up, man? Like, it's like, I don't know.
I mean, do you feel like it comes across as like, well, I mean, I feel like too, I don't know, just something my dad always taught me, like when you're meeting people that are accomplished and famous, like, yeah, it's cool to meet them. But like he always told me, like, they're meeting you too. Like they're meeting young talent so they can say, later on, like, hey, they ran into you in the elevator. So just a different perspective, take it or leave it. But
That
like
is good perspective. I can't lie.
yeah,
That's good perspective
sometimes
for sure.
like
That's
he
true.
yeah, especially like with me, like, going to these different events for the first time and, going to different games and stuff like that. He's like, yeah, you might get caught up in meeting these people, but later down the road, they can say that they met you, before you really got into your prime and stuff like that. So just perspective,
That's
but go
hard. I ain't gonna lie. That's hard.
ahead.
That's hard.
Bar. That's a
But
bar.
I just ain't wanna be like I just know how it be, so I just kind of like another thing, I seen Dame in the mall, like we in the same store, right? Like him and his boy, like they just trying to shop and be in peace. So I'm not gonna be in
Just
the
be
same
like,
spot in the store, and I'm not gonna be like, yo, Dame, what up? Like, I just let him be with his homeboy, because I know if I'm in that position and like it's me and my boy and we just in Dior shopping, like trying to, find a shoe we like or a shirt or whatever. Like, do I want to be talking to a random person? Probably not. Do I want to take a random picture? Probably not. So that'd be in my head. Like, I just, leave him alone, let him shop. It's probably his only time where he could be away from, people in the gym or whatever. So that'd be my mindset on it. Like, kind of
is
leave
it
him
kind of
alone.
one of those things where like you don't want to, like they're kind of just in that mode of just being regular, like a regular person, but like you don't want to take that away from them in a way?
So like,
Okay.
probably think like all day you and Thomas and Mac getting, but you can't go nowhere without people. Dame, CJ, CJ, CJ. So like, it's kind of like now you in the store with your boy, like, which I'm heavy on that too, because I really just be with my people. So just I'm in a store with my mom and my boy. Like, now if I was him and I was in the store with my mom and my boy, would I want people coming up to me like,
Yeah.
Dame, like the employees are already like asking to take pictures with him and having him sign the receipt and shit like that. So I was just like, I don't want to add to that. Like, but yeah, I don't know. That was my mindset on it. But you did just give me a different perspective. I like that. I ain't gonna lie.
I like that. I feel like you kind of gave me a perfect segue into my next question, talking about just, you and your boyfriend Heat, mid-major guys, your story is unconventional, man. We've talked about it, here already, just not having no D1 offers to averaging five as a freshman to, obviously working your way up to now you're playing Euro Cup, and NBA Summer League and on the cusp of like, you know, making the league. What advice would you give to other guys that are at a mid-major school, or maybe their recruitment isn't really taking off like how they expect it to be, in order to get to where you are?
Super simple, but I would just say, just like really like stay in the gym and like put all your trust in your grind, like, because that's the only thing that gave me confidence to do the things, do some of the things that I do on the court, like, and it gave me confidence through a time where like I was low mentally. Like that kind of boosted my confidence. Like, okay, I'm going up a game where I didn't play. Like, I'm definitely working out that night. Like, I got to feel good about something, right? Like, so that was kind of like my mindset. So I feel like I would put it all to just like staying in the gym, working out more than you would normally work out because you're not playing. So, and it just like keeps you sane mentally, like being in the gym, making 200 shots when you didn't play, like instead of going home pouting all day, talking shit on the phone. You might as well like get some work in, feel a little better about yourself. So it's kind of like, it just helped my mental. So I would just say, cliche, but stay in the gym for real.
What would you say are some things that people don't really know about playing overseas? Like a lot of people, you know, they're playing in college and they're like, okay, NBA, NBA, must get to the NBA. If I don't get to the NBA, then I'm just not that. So like, what are some things that you feel like people don't know about playing overseas that you might, maybe, you know, I guess you could put it in perspective of if you're talking to someone that's, you know, in their senior year of college trying to figure out, okay, am I going to go pro? Am I going to try to do this NBA tenure? Like some things that you would offer up to them for them to consider when they're making that decision.
One, like I would just tell people to realize how cutthroat it is. Like people get cut every day, right? So like a lot of people just be like, yeah, if the NBA stuff don't work, I'm going to just go overseas. But like it really don't be that simple, right? So, like, realizing, like, how cutthroat it is. And I would also say, like, doing your own research on, like, the city, the country. Like, just so you can see, like, okay, like, you know, this is the stuff I could do on an off day. Or, like, just seeing if it's somewhere where that you would, you know, do well in. Because, like, there's certain cities where I know I wouldn't have a good time. Right? Like, my mental wouldn't be there in certain cities. So, just, like, doing your research on that. And I would just say, like, just asking around, like not being too prideful to like ask people that are older than you. Like I asked a ton of questions to like a couple big bros, like a ton of them, like to the point where I might've been annoying, but at least I was educated on stuff. So I would say not being too prideful to ask questions and like doing your research, but really being like really realizing like, okay, like this is cutthroat. Like people get cut legit every day and it's another person waiting for your spot and they'll be there, you know, 24 hours after you get cut type of thing. So it's just like those three things I would say.
So I mean, now like you said, man, Paris basket, y'all playing Euro Cup, and you're not just out there, you know, getting cardio, man. You out there getting it in, you know, averaging about 19 points per game.
Yeah, I'm trying, man.
what do you think, you know, has allowed you to, you know, play at that level? Because last year you guys were kind of fighting just to stay in the French league. You know what I'm saying?
Man, guys, yeah, like, yeah, that was crazy.
Playing, you know, second, you know, the second best league, you know, in Europe, and you guys are doing pretty well. You're actually playing well. So, what do you think? Just kind of when have you been able to perform at that level? You know, in this kind of first time, you know, playing that situation.
I think it's once again like I had a good summer, and I think that confidence like was able to help me go on this year. Like this is my first year stepping into like playing point guard, like. Not a two that brings the ball up sometimes, but like I'm the one, right? So like my confidence is super high because I put in a lot of work this summer and I had a solid summer. So I feel like it's really my confidence. Like it's high for real. And I feel like no matter what, like that's a big reason why I'm playing well right now is because I don't think anybody could take my confidence right now. Like, and I'm just looking at it like, okay, like I don't think a lot of people I play against had a better summer than me. And I just be looking at it like that, like, and I still put work in like in season. So I just, it really is just confidence for me. Like just coming into the game, like, okay, like I don't think my matchup is better than me. Like, so it's just, it'd be that simple to me. Like,
love that talk, man. Love that talk. I got to ask you, man, I think based on what you said, you know, I saw the YouTube, you know what I'm saying? So we saw the matchup with Mike James and obviously Mike James, mm-hmm. Super crazy, I guess, for guys looking at overseas guys. It's like, obviously came from a mid-major as well, worked his way up through
the blueprint for real. Like
literally,
Major started off low. Now he, for me, so he's really the blueprint for real.
Fact.
For a
so,
lot of people.
What was that matchup like for you, man? Going obviously you played against him last year as well, but you know this year obviously, like I said, with your confidence the way it is coming into based on the summer you had, now you coming into the matchup with Mike James. Like, what was that matchup like for you?
Oh, it was cool. It was like surreal too because it's somebody I watch often. Like even when I'm just watching EuroLeague or like looking at film, like he's somebody I watch. So going into the matchup, it's like okay, like it's a good. I would say measuring stick really like, okay, let's see where I'm at to, in comparison to somebody whose game I look up to kind of. So it was cool for me. We like, he won, but we both played well. It was a like great, great, great game. Wound up losing by two, but I would just say it was kind of like a measuring stick for me. Like, okay, like, you know, let's see how he leads his team. Like even, and I was still stealing stuff too. Like, okay, like I seen he did, you know, something like this, like putting that in my back pocket. Like, okay, like, let me see, feel me, let me work on that. Like certain things he did that I think could apply to my game. And it was kind of like, all right, let's see, put that in my back pocket, work on it a little bit. And but yeah, like being able to see him up close was fire. And I think once again, it was a good measuring stick for me. Like, okay, like, you know, he had this, but I also played well too. So like, you know, that kind of just gives me a little more confidence than I had before. Like, cause like, shit, we both play well. And I'm sure he respected us just as much as we respected their team. So, that's what was fun.
So, kind of going back to the fashion we were kind of talking about earlier, usually we try to discuss with guests fashion just because, you know, a lot of times people are just seeing, you know, what you're doing on the court, you know, interaction, stuff like that. But there's so many different layers of you all, you know, as people. So usually we call it mismatch or match, you know, clearly play on words. I thought it was clever, but whatever. Right. Anyway, so just have you ever been to a Paris Fashion Week before? Or
I've been to one of them.
Okay, so how was that for you, kind of like, okay, being in New York, you know, playing in high school, and then now you're like, okay, you're at this fashion show in Paris?
It was cool. It was different. Like, you know, sometimes they wear some little weird stuff. So it was cool kind of just seeing, like, the variety of things, like, from, you know, okay, this is pretty normal to, okay, it's kind of unique, and then it goes to, like, a little bizarre. So, like, I would say, like, it was cool to just, like, you know, see a bunch of that stuff, I'd say.
What were some of the things that you were like, I would have maybe, you know, kept that one in the drafts or not really, you know, worn it yourself?
I don't know. Sometimes they just be like weird jackets and crop shirts and weird hair style sometimes. I don't know. Sunglasses be a little funny sometimes. So it's just certain things that's like too much for me. But I could see it being cool for like people who like really, 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 really into it. So. But yeah, some of the stuff is just too much for me.
So when you go to these different events, as far as, you know, because of course you want to dress the part too. So what are some of the things that kind of go into your head when you're putting together your outfit, when you know, because you know how it's different when, of course you have your own unique style and there's certain things that you put into an outfit just when you're going anywhere, because that's just you. But you know, when you're going to certain events and you know that there's other like-minded fashion, you know, you might put a little bit more emphasis on certain things. So what's your mindset going into styling yourself when you're going to these events?
So like I would try to wear a piece of the brand. So like if I'm going to something of Kenzo, like okay, let me throw on like a Kenzo crew, like I did that the other week. Or if I went to like one of their like little social events for their new collection, so I threw on like one of the sweaters that I got from them. So like just trying to have on like a piece of whatever brand it is, like try to have on something of it and then just kind of mixing my own stuff too. But it definitely is more emphasis. Like it's not just a normal day, you know, going to eat. Like you put a little more emphasis and put a little more thought into what you're gonna wear for sure.
So since you're into fashion, do you kind of network when you're there, or you more so go enjoy the show, enjoy the scene, and you just kind of leave? Like, or is it more so, because I know when you're into stuff like that, just like when it's basketball, you want to be around other people that enjoy basketball, of course not one dimensional and just play basketball. There are other, they'd like to do other things. Like, so when you go to these events, do you network with people, or is it more show, okay, I showed up, watched the show, now I'm ready to leave?
Nah, network for sure. So like I know a girl out here that's a stylist, so I also meet a lot of people through her. And She also helped me meet people from these brands as well. Like, she's brought me to a ton of stuff to where, like, she's put me in position to meet a lot of people. So super grateful for her, by the way. But I definitely go there and network, and I think it works in my favor because you meet people and now they hit you up like, yo, come to this, come to that. So now it just like kind of like broadens the people that you know, and it broadens the events you go to, and it just gives you a bunch more opportunities than you had previous to meeting these people. Half the time, like, they'll be excited to meet you anyway when they find out that you play basketball out here. So it usually helps in your favor anyway because they're excited to meet a basketball player, and then we want to network. So it kind of just like two-way street. Get tickets to a game one time, like, half the time it'd be their first basketball game too. So I think it's kind of like a cool way to
Trade-off.
meet them and network. Yeah, cool trade-off.
Was this person, was it Bass from the YouTube? Was that the person you were talking about? Shout out Bass, man. Shout out Bass, man. She seemed like she was a dope person.
Cool as hell. Yeah, that's my dog.
Facts. So I remember you were like, you it seemed like you worked with a stylist for that for the event you went to, right? I remember they brought in the rack, try on a bunch of clothes. Like, we've asked a bunch of guys on here about this their take on stylists. We asked Terrence Mann about his take on it. Last week we had Justin Robinson on. We asked him about it. What's your take on
I
stylists?
just played Justin Robinson yesterday. That's
Bro, what's
crazy.
talking about? Okay, you're talking about Justin Robinson, the short one, the point guard that went to Monmouth.
Oh, you're
Yeah,
not talking about him.
but I played against him in college because he went to Monmouth and I was at Quinnipiac, so I know him too. He's tall.
I just played him yesterday.
Yeah,
Is
that's
that the
crazy.
Justin Robinson you're talking about?
Yeah, it's another one. He's he
That's
uh
crazy. That's
he he's from Maryland. Well, he's from Virginia, but he's from the DMV area. Went to Virginia Tech, left-hand dude, point guard.
Oh, play with the Wizards.
So we're talking to him about the whole stylist thing last week. But for you, like, what's your take on it? Obviously, you did have the stylist in the band. Do you think, like, what are some of the benefits of having a stylist as far as, like, what can they do for you? You've already talked about the networking stuff, how they're introducing you to different people, designers, and things like that. But for you, what do you think are some of the benefits of working with a stylist as a professional athlete?
I mean, like, I don't. That was like the only time I've done it, honestly, and it was because the show we were going to, the brand wanted me to wear things of theirs, so it was kind of like I had a bunch of options from that brand. But normally I wouldn't. Normally I wouldn't. I kind of like the satisfaction of like figuring it out myself, like shopping for myself, stuff like that. I think it's like satisfactory to me, but I think some people might not have the time for it, and I think a stylist could like lay everything out, okay, here's something I think you would like. Here's five jackets you might like. Here's five jeans you might like. Bunch of shoes you might like that might go with this. So it really just, I feel like it just laid out for you. It just makes your job easier when you have somebody just shopping for you and bringing it to your crib. But yeah, I kind of like that satisfaction, like putting it together myself, shopping myself. So I don't really think I would tap into the stylist thing like that, but like it was different circumstances there just because I had to wear something for the brand, but I don't really think I would, but more power to the people that do it, because I understand like it makes your life a ton easier when somebody can lay everything out for you.
So when it comes to like finding a certain piece that you want, or like, let's say you might see something on Instagram, or you just might see a piece out, even like just walking in Paris, how do you go about like sourcing a piece or, finding items that you might want?
Like, how do I contact people to like hold it for me or like find where I can get it from and stuff like that?
Yeah, I guess like, or like, let's say, I don't know, like you just saw like a jacket or something, and now it's like, okay, I gotta go in grind mode. I gotta try to research, what brand it is, how I can get it. Like, how do you go?
Oh, okay, I understand. I just like I know I'm just lucky. I'm lucky to know a couple people who could always point me in the right direction. Or there's a store out here named Kith. Like, I know a couple people there that like. I know if something drops there, like I can have access to it. If I could just say, yo, can you hold this for me? Or I know that they know where I can get it from as well. So it's like just having the right contacts, I would say, like being lucky enough to be in contact with the right people who could point me in the direction of a jacket I see or some shoes that I want or some jeans that I might want, like something like that, like just point me in the right direction of that. But also just kind of like taking stuff from people on Instagram and you know, a lot of people post the page that they got the stuff from, or tag the brand. So go to the website, see if I like something, and just kind of go from there. So I would say through Instagram, really, and just knowing the right people out here, I would say it puts me in the right direction to make that research a little bit easier.
Now, do you feel like being in Paris puts a little bit more pressure on you, like put a fit on, like whether you're going to a party or event or like coming to the game, like the little tunnel walks? Like, do you feel like you have, it's like, all right, man, I can't just come outside like a bummy, or like you, like, man, I don't really care, I'm gonna just come.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? How you
Some
feel?
sometimes. So I think it makes me put a fit on, because like normally I like putting fits on. So like it's something I would do anyway. But I think it makes me put a fit on more than I would. Right? Like just being out here, it's like, but even being out here, it's like certain spots you can't go to with sweats. Like even if it's like a calm, low key hookah line, just like look at you funny if you got sweats. Like you might not get in. So that makes you put some pants on. So yeah, I would say being out here definitely makes me put on a fit more than I usually would. But either way, I would put on outfits either way. But it just gives me more of a reason to do it being out here.
That's dope. That's dope. I feel like, you know, I think that's a good segue for the fashion stuff. Do you have any more fashion questions, Alexis?
No, I'm through.
So I wanted to ask you, man, last question, man. You know, last thing I wanted to ask you was, we also like to do a statement, kind of play on the name of the show, What's in Your Bag, but talk about a time that took you out your bag, or what was the time that you feel like really tested you mentally, or something that you really had to persevere through? And that could be kind of in your professional world, that could be kind of in your upbringing, but I want to kind of talk to, you know, the people about just persevering through times that are hard, man. Because like I said, sometimes some people can't get you out your bag, man, and certain
Man,
situations, man,
all
get you to act out of character. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
if you
For
can
sure.
remember a time where, you know, you feel like you were kind of tested in that way, you know, what was it, and how'd you kind of get past it?
We talked about it, but the COVID year, like that COVID year was crazy. And like obviously
You had a post
everybody
on
goes through
Instagram about
something
that, I think.
new.
I saw the post on your Instagram. You were like, man, this is one of the toughest
Man.
years of my life. I seen that joint. I was like,
One of the toughest. Right? So like it's just crazy, like looking back on it now, it's like we wound up winning a championship. Like it was cool. It ended well, but just like everybody goes through a slump. Every year you're gonna go through a slump at some point, some longer than others. But I went through a shooting slump there. Like a shooting and free throw slump. I just could not make a shot or a free throw. But it's like it's harder when you're in COVID and like, you know, sometimes like your boys come out and you kind of get rejuvenated or like you see like, I don't know, you get a home cooked meal maybe and like you get like it was just tough. Like it was just hard. Like so I was in it for a while and I think like, you know, getting working was hard sometimes because like I said, like the curfew stuff. So it's not like a normal place where okay, maybe you can go back at night. Like it's closed. Like nothing to do. You just in the crib. Like so it was times where like I felt like I'm not getting better right now. Like I'm not all I'm doing is going home and playing Call of Duty the rest of the night. Like and I just kind of was, it was tough, bro. Like things was closed. Like you can't feel good in terms of like, you know, going to a little spot after a game, like maybe like get some hookah and some food. Like that was tough because a lot of stuff was closed and we wound up finding a spot, but for a while it's like stuff was closed. So just like going somewhere in your off day and sitting in a restaurant was tough because you can't do that. So it's just like you really just in the crib, like by yourself, like no family. So like you just got you in the game for real. So it was tough. I'd say that year was super tough for me, especially when I was going through that shooting slump. But then you just go through that slump of like wanting to see your family, you miss Thanksgiving, you miss Christmas, mom's birthday, dad's birthday, Father's Day, Mother's Day, like you miss all that. So I was like, damn, like, but it ended well, got a championship. Met some people that I'm gonna be friends with the rest of my life. So that was a good takeaway of it. But I will say that that year was like super mentally tough. But it definitely made me the person I am today because now I just feel like nothing could get to me, like, and nothing could really affect me, even like going through a shooting slump. Like that can't affect because I've been through a shooting slump in COVID, like motherfuckers getting sick and can't see your family and on top of all that stuff. So now it's kind of just like, I feel like that made me a bigger person for sure.
Bro, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. This is real shit. Like, I feel like right now, probably in one of the worst shooting slumps I've ever experienced in my entire career, bro. Like, no cap.
But before yesterday, I don't think I did not make a three for like 4 weeks.
Bro, I lied to you not, bro. The first 10 games of the season out here, I was shooting 52% from three. Like, I'm talking about I was on a crazy burner, bro. Like, I'm making like three or four a game. Dog, next 10 games after that, I lied to you not, bro. I'm like five for like 34 or something crazy
I
out.
feel you.
I'm like,
If
bro,
you look, bro, this is the worst I felt from three.
dog,
And it's like,
it's crazy, and I feel like I'm sitting here to myself. I'm thanking God that we're on this break right now. Like, we got 2 weeks off. Cause I feel like as a hooper, it's like you try everything, bro. You try everything. Like, all right, I'm about to try to like meditate before the game. Damn, that don't work. All right, I'm gonna try to change up my pregame playlist. I was listening to some Turn Me Up, some Dirk and Baby. Oh, I'm gonna throw some R&B. I'm listening to her, listening to Mariah the Sciences for the game. I'm like, damn, that ain't work. Let me try to
You
throw
legit try everything.
everything. I'm just like, bro,
That's
I don't
funny,
know.
man.
It's like I can't shake it. So I'm hoping that this 2 week reset will help me out, man. But just like, what are some things that kind of help you get out them slumps, man? When you're in those times, and it's like, damn, like I can't buy a bucket.
Bro, for me, it's like, for me, like, it was really just like, I was just missing open threes and shots I always make. Like, I was just missing, and for me, it was just kind of like, just like having that confidence. Like, I had a couple games, it's been a shaky shooter month for me. But I had a couple games, like we played a Euro Cup game. I had 2 points going into halftime, and we were down to a team like we're supposed, like it's a big game for us because we want to win the game and like just get to like second place. I end the game with like 20. Come out the third quarter, score like 12 straight third quarter. So I would say like it's just like the confidence piece, like being able to like, okay, yeah, I'm over 8 right now, but I'm gonna still shoot this snatchback three, like because I work on it and it's open, like I'm gonna shoot it because like I know it got to drop, and at some point it got to drop. So like for me, that's what it was like. And even yesterday we had a game we wound up winning, but I had 5 points going into the fourth quarter. Ended with 22. Like, I'm just going to keep shooting these shots. And I know, like, I'm just super confident. And I know, like, bro, they got to drop. Like, I can't miss all these shits. Like, so that'd be my mindset for real. It's like they have to drop for me. Like, there's no way. And just getting in the gym a little extra, like, shooting a 50 extra more shots than I usually would if I was feeling good. Like, so 10 extra minutes in a workout. Rather than, going 25 and I go 35, like, or rather going 30 than go a quick little 40. So I would say just like working out a little more than usual and just having like that super confidence in the game still, like even if you missed 10 in a row, like coming out shooting at 11th, like in the fourth quarter too, like even if it's a big shot, like I'm gonna shoot it. Like that's just how much I'd be trusting myself and like how much I trust the work that I put in and like the time that I put into this shit. Like, that's just how much faith I got in it for real.
That's real spill, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's real spill, man. I'm hoping that going into this new year,
Yeah,
the
no, okay.
tide turn, man. Cause man, frying my mental right now. Frying my mental,
Oh,
bro.
dude. I would even say, like, you don't really even gotta like change that. Like, I still listen to the same songs before, same pregame warm up, like, same, I do the same stuff. But like I would just say, like for me it's like, all right, like for me it's like once I make one, I'm going. Like I'm kind of like a microwave, right? So like me just thinking like, okay, how can I get an easy basket? So like whether that be getting the shit off the rebound and just running full speed and trying to make a move and score, like, or I when I get it, if I'm open, still shoot. Whether I, no matter if I'm 0 for 6 right now, like still shoot. So just having like the mindset is like, all right, like let me get one and then I'm gonna get going. Like it could be a free throw for all I care, but like I just using something as like that spark to like get you going is like my biggest thing. Like even it could be an assist. Like yesterday I had an assist. I threw my bigger lob, it kinda got me going. Like one hand lob, he dunked it and one. That kinda got me going a little bit. I'm like, all right, next play down, wind up getting a bucket. it, and then I was going from there. But I would definitely just say, like, it's like find something that could just spark you real quick, and then from there, I feel like you'll be Gucci.
I appreciate it, man. Because, like I said, I'm gonna definitely try to put that into effect this next game. Because,
Yeah,
Lord knows that.
I feel you though. Like I feel you though.
Man.
I feel you on that because I'm not shooting well this last month either,
Nah,
like,
facts.
at all. So I
Hey,
feel you.
the tide gonna turn for both of us, man. I also gotta give
No
you props.
cap.
You had some fire music on the YouTube too, man. You had the Mariah the Scientist on there to get.
Man, I had to throw
What
that
you
on there.
know what you
Yeah, I
know
had to
about
throw her
that,
on there.
man? What you know about them?
She's so tough. I had to throw her on there. I probably listen to that song every day.
Bro,
I ain't
I
gonna
like
lie.
from that EP, I like o Only Human, my favorite song on that EP.
Only Human is my second favorite song.
Yeah.
So that shit is fire. I ain't gonna lie.
You the one. I gotta try to get her. I gotta try to see her in concert this summer if I go home, man. Cause she the
For
one.
sure. For
Next up.
sure. She's definitely it. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay.
She's definitely it.
Okay, man. Shoot, man. Keep going here all day, man. Rapping, man. This has been dope time, man. The very last question I
Gotta
have.
ask him about guests. Gotta
Max,
ask him about.
I was getting there. I was getting there. I was getting there. I had to
Yeah.
roll with it. I had to get the dramatic effect. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta ask.
The very last question I got for you, man. Probably who let you go. Who is somebody that you think we should have on here next, man? And that could be like a basketball
Oh,
player,
that's a good ass question.
stylist. We got some all the smoke, you know what I'm saying? So whoever you say, you gotta help us get them on here.
But I say we
TJ
can't name
Shorts.
drop, but we got a name drop and then assist with the appearance.
Be a PG, you know what I'm
TJ
saying? Be
TJ
more.
Shorts. TJ Shorts. TJ Shorts. Or Chima Maneki.
He plays for the Thought in
One
the
of
King
them.
now, right?
He plays for Kings. Two way.
Okay.
I believe.
And
I would say TJ
play who?
Shorts. Because they both made major boys. I played against them in college, and it's crazy to see like they both having success. Like Chima, made major boys, went through some stuff in college, started his pro career Pro B in France, second division France, and then I want to say he played second division twice. Then he went Pro A, then he went to Spanish ACB League, and then he went to the NBA. TJ. Killed in college. Me and him went at it every single year. Then he started his career. And where did he start? I want to say, damn, I can't think where he started at. But then I know he had a good time in Germany. Now he's playing Champions League, cooking. Like definitely, definitely. I think it's guaranteed he's getting MVP of Champions League. But like for him, like he 5'10", like just scored 38 last game, like. He could be a little guard motivation for a lot of people too. So, mid-major and little guard motivation on here. So, I would say either TJ Shorts or Chima. Chima undersized four. So he could be motivation too because one mid-major and somebody who started off Pro B, second division. You know, you go mid-major and you start off second division. You're not supposed to be in that NBA.
Thanks.
He got Champions League MVP last year. So
Mm.
like they got some stories. Chima started off. They both JUCO boys too.
Plot thickens.
So yeah, I say that, and I mess around and throw the lie because I low key want to hear what they got to say too. Even though I know a lot, I would want to hear it, and I would want other people to hear it as well.
For sure, bro. Like I said, we're gonna connect after this, man. And like I said, we can definitely stay in touch, man. We see if we can get that done. But this has been a dope episode, man. Dope conversation, man. I definitely want to just say thank you to you for taking time out on your off day to come out here and chop it up with us for over an hour, man. Definitely there's a lot of things that you could be doing. So definitely want to just first of all say thank you for coming on, man. And number two, just thank you for sharing your story, man. I think there's gonna be a lot of people out here who's definitely gonna benefit from hearing it. And best
For
luck
sure.
out there in Paris, man. Like I said, I know you're gonna keep doing your thing out there, keep getting busy. I'm definitely gonna be tuned in. And
Got you,
like I said, we're definitely gonna keep in touch, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of your season. And like I said, maybe we'll cross paths one day out here in Japan. You never know.
No cap. No, I appreciate y'all for having me too. It's been cool. It's been a pleasure too. So
No doubt.
appreciate y'all.
No doubt, no doubt, man. Guys, this has been another episode of the What's in Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. Make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast, giving us a 5-star rating. It goes a very, very long way, guys. tell a friend to tell a friend, man. We're getting, you know, dope guests on this show, man. So I think there's definitely somebody out here in the world that could benefit. So make sure you guys are sharing this whenever you're hearing it. And that's all, folks. Happy New Year's. We'll catch you guys on the next one, y'all. Peace.